Do a little politicking?
I'll test you, you impudent son bitch. You don't tell your pappy how to cut the electorate. We ain't one at a time in here. We're mass communicating.
Oh, yes. That's a powerful new force.
Bring it in, Junior.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back here to The Full Story on WYAB 103.9. And I hope everyone had a great weekend. It was definitely an interesting weekend for RFK Jr. As he has officially suspended his independent campaign for the White House and endorsed Donald Trump. He officially did that on Friday. Then he hit the networks on Sunday to further explain that. So we're going to go over some of those interviews today. Now, this is talked about. We talked about this. This was kind of hinted at last week before the actual announcement was made. I mean, there were a lot of things that kind of added up to it with RFK Jr. being in Arizona the same time as Donald Trump. And then, of course, he then joined Donald Trump at a rally later on. So it looked like that was what was going on. Plus, his vice presidential candidate said that he would end up supporting Trump as well. And it was pretty well timed by the Republicans here. Obviously, the DNC convention stopped on Thursday. Harris did her final speech on Thursday, and then the Republicans come with RFK Jr. on Friday. So a good way for the Republicans strategically to try to take away any kind of momentum they would have had from that from the convention. We went over her speech on Friday. Later on the show, I'm going to go over a couple more things, particularly her tax plan, as well as idea of bringing back a voting rights or enacting a voting rights law that is essentially unconstitutional. So we'll talk about those two things as well today. But I want to get into a little bit on RFK Jr. So Kennedy said his internal polls had shown that his presence in the race would hurt Trump and help Democratic nominee Kamala Harris, though recent public polls don't provide quite a clear indication of what impact he would have on that. And what I said last week is that regardless, it's not going to hurt Trump by him getting out and endorsing him. How much it helps him is yet to be seen, especially as things have been changing after RFK Jr. had a lot more support when Biden was still in the race. In tight races, you know, right now he was polling about single digits in some of these places. But single digits can be a pretty big change and or a pretty big factor in some of these battleground states where just thousands of votes, if not less than that, sometimes make the decision. So Kennedy cited free speech, the war in Ukraine, and a war on children as among the reasons he would try to remove his name from the ballot in battleground states. So here's part of his speech on Friday.
Oh, I want everyone to know that I am not terminating my campaign. I am simply suspending it and not ending it. My name will remain on the ballot in most states. Three great causes drove me to enter this race in the first place, primarily. And these are the principal causes that persuaded me to leave the Democratic Party and run as an independent, and now to throw my support to President Trump. In an honest system, I believe that I would have won the election. In a system the kind that my father and my uncles thrived in, a system with open debates, with fair primaries, with regularly scheduled debates, with fair primaries, and with a truly independent media untainted by government propaganda and censorship, in a system of nonpartisan courts and election boards, everything would be different. In Chicago, a string of Democratic speakers mentioned Donald Trump 147 times just on the first day. Oh, who needs a policy when you have Trump to hate? In contrast, at the RNC convention, President Biden was mentioned only twice in 4 days.
So, yeah, he makes a lot of good points there, especially with how he was treated by the Democratic Party, and how the Democratic Party just, they had their way of going, and they're not going to take anybody else who wants to go in there. You know, when Biden was running, they wouldn't let him do anything. The media wouldn't interview him. He didn't have any kind of shot to even run a primary. And he was the first ones to try to challenge Biden about, you know, that he's not there to run the Democratic Party. But they didn't want to hear anything about that. And then what ends up happening? Biden drops out, and they just give it to Kamala Harris. So, I mean, that was a pretty big slap in the face to RFK Jr. And just really the slap in the face to the democratic process, as he's talking about there, with that would have been with his uncle, who was John F. Kennedy, and his dad, which was obviously Robert F. Kennedy. And both of who were assassinated. So he has some, he knows what that's like too with Donald Trump, obviously with the attempted assassination on Donald Trump. However, he was pretty clear, that none of this was done by, his motivation is not based on revenge. It was clearly based on those three things. So here's him, on, the Fox News Sunday show with Shannon Bream on that.
Go back to your decision from Friday. Both you and Nicole Shanahan, your running mate, have talked about how you feel like the Democrats completely mistreated you, excluded you from the process. How much of your decision Friday is about revenge or motivated by punishing Democrats in some way?
Zero. I don't act in anything in my life. I don't act out of anger or revenge or resentment. It's a bad motivation. It's like swallowing poison and hoping someone else will die. And so I don't do it. I am very pragmatic and practical, and I am focused on one thing, which is how do we restore health for our children? And that touches many, many other issues. How do we regenerate our soils in this country? How do we protect small family farmers? The incentives are all going to commodity agriculture, and that's what is feeding this chronic disease epidemic, the processed foods that are created by commodity agriculture. So we need to do all of these things at once, protect small farmers, restore our soils, regenerative agriculture, and to get the corruption out of the federal government and make these agencies do what they were created to do, which is to protect our health and not serve the mercantile interests of the pharmaceutical companies and the processed food industry.
This decision is not without personal cost for you.
All right, we'll get to that section in just a minute. So, you know, you hear it right there. I don't know if it's very true that he's not doing it completely. You know, there's not a little bit of revenge in there. I mean, he seemed very sincere in that regard. But man, it would be hard to, I think, anybody not to have a little bit of revenge wanting to go there. But you see there, you know, his policies, while some of his things is completely a lot different from Donald Trump. But there's some things that are similar, right? You see there, he said, you know, all these agencies not doing their job. We need to reform Washington. That's cleaning out the swamp, right? That's what he's talking about. Because, again, you know, you have the D.C. cogs, the D.C. elite that have been running this, that have this power. They can't release it, which is why they continuously will do anything to win this election, as we've seen. Again, you know, like I said, we can never forget that the Democrats have been in power for 12 of the last 16 years. They have started to establish a very, very heavy base there in D.C. And again, once you're there, you know, you see it in person. It is quite shocking. So he made clear that, as you heard in that first video, that he wasn't formally ending his bid. So he's just getting out of the, or trying to get out of the, battleground state. So right now he has took steps to withdraw from Arizona and Pennsylvania, but election officials in the battlegrounds of Michigan, Nevada, and Wisconsin said it would be too late for him to take his name off the ballot even if he wants to, which is a little crazy to me. I don't think they've started printing the ballots just yet. I mean, the DNC convention was just last week, so I don't know how it's too late for that to happen. What does it take? I mean, I can understand if this is a month before the election, but you know, there's 70 plus days to the election, just over 2 months. I think that's a little ridiculous to say it's too late to take him off the ballot. It's not like, you know, we're back in the 1800s and it takes a while to get things to the different precincts and to change ballots. We're not in that system. We're in a modern day system where everything happens pretty quickly. So except when they don't want someone it's kind of funny. He had to sue to get on so many ballots the first time, and now he's trying to get off. And they won't let him. It's like either way, they're trying to put roadblocks anywhere they can. But Arizona and Pennsylvania are, especially Pennsylvania is definitely one of the most important states, if not the most important state in this upcoming election. So if he can at least get off of that one, it's going to help. And, you know, being clear to his supporters that, hey, you know, I'm endorsing Donald Trump. There's a possibility I could be on the Trump administration. There's been some talk about that, especially from his vice presidential candidate. Been no confirmation from either him or Trump on that regard. But things like this that he's been talking about, he says, you know, his actions were following conversations with Trump over the past few weeks. And he has cast their alliance as a unity party, an arrangement that would allow us to disagree publicly, privately, and seriously, but still be able to form a government. And that's a common theme with Trump, right? You know, the Democrats keep saying, oh, you know, we'd do this regardless of party, but they just bash Trump, as you heard him say, you know, mentioned his name over 200 times on the first day. Whereas they're very just much focused on Democrats, whereas you see now with Donald Trump, right, they bring in the Teamsters president to the RNC convention, which was just crazy. Whereas the Teamsters president was snubbed at the DNC, you know, bringing in a union member to the RNC, that's absolutely ridiculous. And that's not saying that Trump agrees with everything he says, but he's willing to listen to people coming outside, right? Same thing here. What RFK Jr. saying is, hey, there's a lot of things we disagree on. Don't get me wrong. But that doesn't mean we cannot form a unity government, what he calls it, to take those differing viewpoints and to come with better policies. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing, right? Is looking at different viewpoints and including different viewpoints in your administration to see and to have those debates internally at the executive level to determine what policies are best for America. And you need, if we're going to use Democrat, we need diverse opinions on all of that, right? Because diversity doesn't necessarily mean diversity just in race, color, sex, religion, national origin, right? Diversity also means diversity in viewpoints, diversity in backgrounds. That really makes this country great in those regards, right? And you need that type of diversity in there. The Democratic Party really has no. They like to call themselves the diverse party, but again, they're really not diverse. They're diverse in, like I said, how many gay people and all this other stuff they can put, and how many minorities they can try to pander to. But they're not diverse in their opinions outside of the Israeli Gaza thing, right? They try to get everybody behind one thing, and they're over one ideal, and if you disagree with them at all, they get rid of you, right? You see that throughout the Democratic Party, and they'll get rid of you, right? We talked about that with Tulsi Gabbard, and how they put her on the terror watch list with her, and that's another person that Trump is bringing on board as part of his bench of people. Because what Donald Trump's doing right now is he's building a bench. He is building a bench of people that have different opinions but are intelligent people, people that he can listen to and, again, be able to form the best policies for this country. All right, we're going to take a break right here. When we get back, we're going to continue on with RFK Jr. and then get into Kamala's tax policy. So keep it tuned here to The Full Story on WYAB 103.9. Also, I always forget to mention this. If you want to call in, number 601-879-0002. Again, a lot of times I can't catch you on the air, but I do like talking to you guys during the breaks. So keep it tuned to WYAB. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back here to The Full Story on WYAB 103.9 as we continue to talk about RFK Jr. So, as I talked about, you know, he said he endorsed Trump, and they happen to be, they say they happen to be, right? It was definitely planned for him to be there on Friday. And then he joined Donald Trump up on stage at the campaign rally, and this is what Donald Trump said of RFK Jr.
Tonight, I'm very pleased to welcome a man who has been an incredible champion for so many of these values that we all share, and we've shared them for a long time. I don't think too many of you people have heard of him. He's very low-key. He's a very low-key person, but he's highly respected. He is a great person. I've known him for so long. For the past 16 months, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And he deserves it. He deserves it. For the past 16 months, Bobby has run an extraordinary campaign for President of the United States. I know, because he also went after me a couple of times. I didn't like it. And I mean this sincerely. Had he been allowed to enter the Democrat primary, he would have easily beaten Joe Biden, but they wouldn't let him in. They put up rules. I've never seen rules like he had to have 65% of the vote in order to run, you know, little things like that. His candidacy has inspired millions and millions of Americans, raised critical issues that have been too long ignored in this country, and brought together people from across the political spectrum in a positive campaign grounded in the American values of his father, Robert Kennedy, a great man, and his uncle, President John F. Kennedy. And I know that they are looking down right now, and they are very, very proud of Bobby. I'm proud of Bobby. You want to know the truth?
All right. So you can see there, he comes up to the sound of Foo Fighters. Had to cut out some of the Foo Fighters. But, you know, at the very end there, he says that his father and his uncle are looking down, being proud of him. However, five of Kennedy's family members issued a statement on Friday calling his support for Trump, quote, a sad ending to a sad story, and reiterating their support for Harris. His sister, Carrie Kennedy, posted on X, quote, our brother Bobby's decision to endorse Trump today is a betrayal of the values that our father and our family hold most dear. Here's actually her on, Kennedy, his sister, on CNN.
You responded to this earlier. You said that this was a betrayal of your father's legacy. Why do you think so?
Well, I think, you know, if my father were alive today, he would detest almost everything Donald Trump represents. His lying, his selfishness, his rage, his cynicism, his hatred, his racism, his fascist sympathies, his deliberate misinformation about vaccines, his criminal felony convictions, his contempt for the poor and suffering, for ethics, for democracy, and for healing, and his cruel sneering at human rights for suffering people in America and around the world, which was the cause that so moved and motivated my father. So I'm outraged and disgusted by my brother's gaudy and obscene embrace of Donald Trump. I love my brother, but this is an outrage. And I completely disavow and separate and dissociate myself from him.
So completely disavowed. You can see her, you know, you're starting to see, though, how RFK Jr., you know, has broke the mold of, you see her talking there, and all she, again, mentions those same Democratic talking points. Nothing in there about policy outside of the vaccine, which is not really a policy. You know, nothing about why should they hate Donald Trump's on policy. And what RFK Jr. is saying, no, like what my father and uncle said, their policies would much line up with Donald Trump, not the crazy near communist policy of Kamala Harris and the current Democratic Party. If you can remember in the time of JFK and Robert F. Kennedy, when they were running, you know, communism was a real threat to this country. And we were fighting that throughout the world. And, you know, they were everything against communism and socialism. And that is exactly what the Democratic Party is standing for today. You know, I can show you, you know, it also shows you how hard it is for RFK Jr. to do this, right? To try to go against a longstanding Democratic family and have to stand up, And what she said, I'm going to disown you. You know, I'm going to disavow my brother, which is a little ridiculous for political reasons, right? You know, I don't care, you know, who you are. If you're a family member, you don't disavow someone for politics, right? And that's essentially what they're doing. And in an op-ed for the Los Angeles Times, Max Kennedy said, quote, Trump was exactly the kind of arrogant, entitled bully that his father, former U.S. Senator and Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy, stood against before he was assassinated in 1968 as he pursued the Democratic nomination. He said, I am heartbroken over my brother Bobby's endorsement of Donald Trump. Robert F. Kennedy's life was dedicated to promoting the safety, security, and happiness of the American people. And that's exactly what Donald Trump is standing for, especially the safety and security part. We can't guarantee happiness. All we can guarantee is the pursuit of it. But we can try to guarantee safety and security, which is very interesting. He used those words and saying, you know, Donald Trump's not standing for that, because that's exactly what Donald Trump is standing for with the border. And it's exactly what Kamala Harris has not stood for and has allowed further crime and these people to invade our country. So, again, look at your own words that you just used. But, again, Robert F. Kennedy, RFK Jr., said, you know, he's not holding any kind of grudges against his family. So, again, here's him on Fox News Sunday.
Your own family went to the White House on St. Patrick's Day, took a huge picture with President Biden, made clear who they were supporting. Friday night, your siblings issued this statement. We believe in Harrison Waltz. Our brother Bobby's decision to endorse Trump today is a betrayal of the values that our father and our family hold most dear. You posted on X Friday night saying you're grateful to your amazing wife because the decision that you've made is one that she's uncomfortable with. So talk to us about the personal backlash you have to deal with in moving
forward. I mean, you know, my family is at the center of the Democratic Party. I have five members of my family that are working for the Biden administration. President Biden has a bust of my father behind him at the Oval Office. He's been a family friend for many, many years. And my family is, I understand that they're troubled by my decisions, but, you know, I love my family. I feel like we were raised in a milieu where we were encouraged to debate each other and debate ferociously and passionately about things, but to still love each other. So, you know, they can, they're free to take their positions on these issues. There are many, many members of my family who are working in my campaign, who are supporting me. I have a very big family. There's a few of them that are troubled. But, you know, I think we all need to be able to disagree with each other and still love each other.
Wall Street Journal has this.
So you see there, you see right there that he is supporting, you know, despite his family saying what they're saying, he still loves his family, right? He's not disavowing them like his sister, which should really show you the difference between the family members and how hard it is sometimes to do the right thing, to stand up for something that you believe in, despite what your family may think of you, despite again, the fact that your family has been a bastion of the Democratic Party for so long. That is something that they are trying. He's trying. He has to face, and he continues to face it because he knows that supporting Donald Trump is the right thing for this country. And he's putting that aside to say, hey, no, you know what my father stood for, what my uncle stood for, what they fought for was a free country, was a country where you could have safety and security. Right. As his brother said. And right now, there's only one candidate that does that. There's only one candidate that prevents us from going to that prevents us from heading towards communism, and that, you know, that person is Donald Trump, and that's the person I know I have to support. He could have done a Ross Perot and stayed in there, and you know, Ross Perot obviously is pretty big. The reason that Bill Clinton was elected the first time. Was a good part, not the only reason, but a good part of it. And he could have done the same thing, but he said, no, I gotta pull back, and I have to support the candidate that I think is best for our country. And that took some balls from him to do that and to face the backlash of his family in doing so. And you can hear from his sister that they are so brainwashed, and he's bucked that trend. And the Democratic Party is a big reason they're the ones who caused this, right? They didn't want an open primary. They didn't want to have any kind of freedom in their election. And they just gave it to Biden, and then they coronated Kamala, right? Just gave it to all of them without any kind of democratic process whatsoever. And they're also the ones that have been trying to keep him off the ballots throughout the country, suing to keep him off the ballots, just like they were trying to sue for Donald Trump not to be on the ballots. That's the Democratic Party. They don't want to take the democratic process out of it. They want to take people's choice out of it, because people's choice, that's an unknown, right? And they don't want any kind of unknown. That's a toss up, and they can't afford a toss up in this election, because they absolutely cannot afford to lose it. They have gone way too far in this regard, and they've tried to throw curveballs at Donald Trump along the way, right? First with the prosecutions, and then we have an assassination attempt, and then we have the president himself dropping out of the race. They keep throwing these curveballs at Donald Trump, and every time Donald Trump keeps coming back, right? They initially may get a little bit of momentum after it for just a little while, right? After the convictions, he dipped down a little bit, but then he started going back up. Then you had an assassination attempt, which that scared Donald Trump a little bit. You could definitely see it, and who would it not scare when the bullet's that close to your head, right? But then Donald Trump started coming back, and then what happened? Then Biden dropped out, and they put Kamala, so they got another little kick with Kamala. But then the convention happened, and didn't quite have as much of a boost they thought it was had, because it's Kamala Harris, and they didn't talk anything about policy. All they did was talk about Donald Trump, and then Donald Trump puts RFK in here, and then Donald Trump starts coming back up, and they got to have one more curveball. And I think that last curveball is going to be the sentencing hearing in New York. Again, the whole case is probably going to be overturned. They don't care about that. That can be overturned until after the election, and they know that. So, you know, maybe they put him in jail for 30 days, 45 days. One last curveball, because it happens in September. They could put him in jail all the way until Election Day. Right. That's within their power to do right now. And that could be the last curveball they try to do, which is, you know, it's a Hail Mary of a shot. Right. But again, you know, they can't afford to lose it. So I wouldn't put anything past them in that regard, and to put him in jail. And that's why I think one of the things is, you know, is from the Donald Trump campaign, from their perspective, you got to plan for contingencies. Right, you got to plan for any kind of thing that may happen. So you have to plan that he could be in jail, right, or house arrest or something like that. I don't know. It'd be very interesting if they try to put him in actual jail. They could very well put him on house arrest, right, and keep him from campaigning for the last month of the election. So you have to look at contingencies for that. And that's why you see, I think, Donald Trump starting to build his bench, right? First off, it was J.D. Vance, right? A guy who's young, who's energetic, who's going to get out there, who's going to hit the campaign trail. There's nothing that's going to stop him. He speaks to the people. He comes from a background where he had to work, you know, from his bootstraps, right? So he, you know, first picking J.D. Vance, and then you see him start bringing in Tulsi Gabbard, a former Democrat, right, who was treated horribly by the Democratic Party because, again, she tried to buck the trend. She tried to call out what was going on, and what do? They put her on the terror watch list, right? Now you see him bringing in RFK Jr. He's starting to build that bench. Nikki Haley on there as well. He's starting to build that bench. So in case that contingency happens, he has a group of people who can run this election. I mean, who can run this campaign and put his ideology out there to put that momentum, to keep that momentum, and then have a guy running from jail, you know, like Nelson Mandela or something, right? Gives him another push, and that is going to show or at least try to show how, you know, who's here trying to stop democracy. They say it's going to be me who's going to do political persecutions, but who's in jail right now? They say it's me who's going to put the active duty military at your house and poison the waters, but who is doing what? Who is trying to keep the choice away from you? Because it's not the Republicans, the Democratic Party, from the nomination and then the presidency itself. They are trying to take away the vote. And he has the bench. He's starting to build that in order to campaign for him if that contingency happens. All right, we're going to take another break right here. When we get back, we'll talk about the Harris parts of the Harris tax plan as we are running out of time. So we're not going to have a whole lot of time, but we're going to talk at least on some points of it. So keep it tuned here to the full story on WYAB 103.9. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back here to The Full Story. I said we'd talk about Kamala's tax plan, but I only have about 4.5 minutes, and I'm not going to have time. I'm just going to be too rushed to talk about the tax plan. So we'll talk about the tax plan tomorrow, as well as the other thing I want to talk about tomorrow is the John Lewis Voting Rights Act that was talked quite a bit at the DNC and mentioned in Kamala's speech, and especially in regards to that act. How parts of it have already been found unconstitutional, especially the preclearance requirement that they're trying to put back in. This was just very common with Democrats we see that throughout the convention. We see it continuing how they say they're going to do things that just aren't constitutional, and they can say it, but it's never going to happen, right? So the John Lewis Rights Act is one of them, and the other one is, of course, abortion, where, again, abortion is not, they keep saying abortion is illegal, and federally it is not illegal. It is based on the state, and the courts have ruled that this is not a federal issue. This is a state issue. So that's just one more thing that these things that they are promising are just not constitutional. And again, I cannot stress enough to remember, you know, 12 of the last 16 years they have been in power. 12 of the last 16. Every time people say, oh, you know, they want to bring up, you know, how Kamala Harris is going to do something for him, remind them that she has been in the White House for the last 4, and the Democrats have been in power for 12 of the last 16. And they're still use the same things. They say the same things every 4 years in their campaign speeches. You know, when any little policy that she has talked about, including the tax one, which like I said, I'm going to get in tomorrow, about, oh, we want to tax the rich, do this, give, you know, the middle out, you know, support the middle class, but they haven't done it. And the only meaningful tax cuts that ever happened were under Donald Trump. And right now, most of Kamala's tax plan, shocker, outside of raising the stuff for the wealthy people, is the same tax cuts that it was Trump that put in. It's just extending his tax cuts, just like she wanted to go with, no tax on tips, right? Which again was a Donald Trump thing. Now, I'm not a fan of no tax on tips for several reasons, mainly being, you have to, if you're going to have that, you have to have some kind of cap, or otherwise everybody's going to classify things as tips, right? There's going to be so much cheating going on in regards, or not necessarily cheating, but creative accounting going on with if there's no tax for tips.
So they really should have some big controls over that. A lot of economists say it's not the best idea either. It's either copying straight from Trump, which is hilarious, or it's the same things they've been talking about. You know, abortion. They even talked about gay marriage. Gay marriage has been settled for years as a thing, but they know those kind of issues is what pulls people in. There's nothing to be done in regards to abortion. There's nothing to be done in any kind of gay rights. It's all there already, right, with gay marriage and everything else. But again, these are just issues they like to bring up they know stirs certain amount of people. But the problem is it fails with the average American. The average American doesn't care about gay marriage. Again, they understand that abortion is based on the state that they live in. But again, they want to just, you know, invoke those types of things. They really need they really want a ceasefire in Israel. Not going to happen. Just today, there was heavy strikes between Israel and Hezbollah. As fighting resumed today up there, there's heavy bombing going on. They're getting further and further, I would say, away from any kind of ceasefire deal. As this thing is potentially going to erupt into a larger war, they're sending American military people down there now, which is something we definitely don't need to be doing. Our carriers and stuff do not need to be protecting Israel. Israel can handle it themselves. And the only exception being Iran. Iran is definitely an enemy of ours. So anything that comes with Iran, that's part of the problem, though, is Hamas and Hezbollah are arms of Iran. So it's just getting crazier and crazier over there. Their foreign policies have been failing with wars in Ukraine, wars in Israel, China on the door of Taiwan. It's just not getting any better. So they really need the ceasefire win over there, and it just doesn't look like it's going to happen. It's definitely not going to happen before the election, because I think Israel is also smartly and politically holding out as well to see who's going to be president to decide what they want to do. All right, we have to take our last break right here. When we get back, we're going to talk about this day in history, and it's an important one for women's rights, which, of course, is a big thing for the Democrats, but it's interesting when we actually start learning about women's rights and who actually originally advocated for them. So keep it tuned here to The Full Story on WYAB 103.9. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back here to The Full Story on WYAB 103.9 as we get to this day in history. So on August 26th, 1920, the 19th Amendment to the United States Constitution was certified, which granted the women the right to vote. And with its certification, that made it the law of the land. Now, I thought it'd be interesting to talk about who actually drafted it or put the initial words for it. So the 19th Amendment was initially introduced in Congress by Senator Aaron A. Sargent in 1878, and he's the one who wrote the words that would become the 19th Amendment, which is, "The right of the citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex." And again, he did that back in 1878, so quite a long time before it was actually finally passed, because it takes quite a long time to get through an amendment to the Constitution. An important thing to note about Senator Sargent is that Senator Sargent's wife was a suffragist, but he was also, and you guessed it, a Republican. So he was a Republican from California, and again, this goes back to the basis of the Republican Party, which has always been about freedom, the freedom to vote, the freedom to choose your candidates and to give it out to as many people as possible. Of course, the 14th, 15th, and 16th Amendment, equal protection and giving black people the right to vote. Again, started by the Republicans. It's always been the Republicans that's been trying to give people the rights to vote and to expand who can vote. And it's the Democrats who are doing the Jim Crow laws of the early 1900s. And to this day, we still see it preventing people from trying to vote, not even having given people the choice to vote in the Democratic primary election, because Democrats have always been against giving it to the right of the people. All right, that's all we have for you guys today. As always, you can follow us on the Full Story. You can regulatorsproductions.com/the full story. But until tomorrow, my name is Matthew Bishop, and you have heard The Full Story. Bye.